B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Coming up a little bit later this hour, we'll talk to Will Parks, newly minted member of the Philadelphia Eagles. In this hour, we're going to get to another story here that Howie also touched on, because I've never really seen this before in the way that this has come out now, Trey. And I think you saw this. Adam Schefter released a story yesterday. We've talked a lot about Schefty this week. But Adam Schefter released a story this week from a, I don't know what to call it, a memo, an email that went out to different to every team in the NFL talking about the draft process. So Roger Goodell has spoken about teams criticizing what the league is doing with the draft. The draft is going on. So Roger Goodell, I guess to get ahead of it, according to Adam Schefter, Roger Goodell put out a memo that the draft will go on, and he even served a warning to those around the league that criticize the league's stance on still holding the draft. Roger Goodell wrote in a memo to every team in the NFL, to every front office, saying public discussion of the issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary action. The Raj has spoken, Trey. Yeah. The commissioner is essentially threatening league offices to not rip the idea of the draft continuing. What do you make of that?
I mean, that's him coming in like, hey, look, we pushing forward. Now, anything that's said against it will be taken as a sign of disrespect, and punishment will be handed down.
I don't, are they trying to look unified? Like, he knows this letter was going to get out. Like, I don't necessarily know if it was leaked or not, or if, you know, Adam just got it as a member of ESPN. But it seems to me that, yeah, somebody passed that along to say, hey, look what we got to deal with, that type of thing. I think you have to let people speak their mind. If you weren't going to be all on the same page, you got to be prepared that people, I mean, people talk about it all the time with personalities and on the football field itself and on the roster. Well, what about the guys that are actually upstairs at the front office that are still trying to run things? We talked about it earlier with Howie Roseman. Everybody's got an ego. Everybody in this business, whether it's an ego or whether it's just a lot of pride or whether it's a lot of confidence, everyone's got a little bit of that. And it depends on how much you like the person, really, whether or not how you want to describe it. But you go out of your way as Roger Goodell, commissioner of the league, to go ahead and tell people, hey, this is what we're doing. Shut up and like it. Like, that's basically what the commissioner is saying. Bob, as the journalist in the room, so to speak here, you look at a story like this with the commissioner saying, hey, guys, shut up and like it. How do you take it?
It's a dictatorship in the NFL. And if anybody started to think it wasn't, he had to let everybody know, no, it is. The thing that concerned me was people talking about it and people coming up with ideas or people saying things. Well, that's how you learn stuff. And that's how you kind of get a feel of the general public of what maybe they want or maybe this is a way to go. For Roger Goodell just to shut things down and basically say, like, look, this is done, this has been made, I think is pretty short-sighted. We're in a time here in history that has never, you know, in our history, all of us on Earth, that has never been, that we've never gone through before. Why not leave your thoughts and your ideas wide open and let others have contributions? But that's Roger Goodell.
Yeah, that certainly seems to be what it is right now. When it comes to trying to run this league, Howie, when he was addressed, when he was addressing, you know, basically being asked about the draft and how he was going to handle it, he said they even did a test run. Like right now, when we do Twitch, we're doing it through Zoom. And Zoom is something I said Monday, I hadn't even heard of until last Friday when I did the interview with Zach and Julie Ertz. They did it, they wanted to do it through Zoom. I only had really known of Skype and like FaceTime, so maybe that's the boomer in me.
I saw a meme going around yesterday. It was like the real person behind, you know, the Scooby-Doo meme where they reveal the mask. Uh-huh. And it was like the person actually behind coronavirus, and it was Zoom under the mask.
I've never even heard of it, but we're using it for Twitch. Our Twitch feed is actually being pulled from Zoom, and then that's how we're using it. Howie Roseman said that they did a test run of all the people that were supposed to be in the room come draft day. Everyone that was going to have a say in the matter was going to be on essentially a video camera to give a test run so everyone could weigh in on the different draft picks at that given moment. So the Eagles at least appear prepared. And according to Howie Roseman yesterday, whatever the league says, that's what goes. There's going to be no public criticism. There's going to be nobody saying this is BS. There's going to be nobody saying anymore, push it back. Otherwise, you could get, I don't know, fined as a front office member if you're going out publicly to go ahead and shoot down the idea that this is a good idea from the NFL. Look, I was on board and I said it from the get-go. Adam Schefter went from reporter, Bob, as you called it, reporter to columnist. That's what happened during that interview. So when you or during his interview with ESPN. So when you go back to it, it really does factor in a lot of the emotions from Schefter into the guys that he talked to around the league. That forget about the draft for a second. It was a matter of guys in free agency that didn't want the NFL year to start because of the virus and because they weren't able to sit in the same room. They might not be able to get player evaluations for physicals and all that. And Trey, you narrowed that down to guys that might have pre-existing issues like a knee injury or a back injury that might be chronic. So you can't get those guys looked at in a time like this. And also the league office comes out and says, hey, look, by the way, we're shutting down the team facilities so nobody can gather. They were the last team to really shut anything down. Excuse me. Sports league to shut anything down. And they're looking at it as, you know what? If you're going to criticize us, you better keep your mouth shut because guess what? You're going to get fined if you say anything other than that. That doesn't necessarily, Trey, show cohesiveness in the higher ranks of the NFL. It seems like a very odd thing.
Yeah, well, you know, anytime you make decisions, there's always going to be someone that doesn't agree with it. So, you know, what you're trying to do is show a unified front. So I get what he's trying to do, but you also, too, need to allow people to, if they have concerns, allow them to voice it. But and also, too, I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure, why aren't these people talking to Goodell? Why go through the media to voice your concerns? Why not go to the source and like, hey, man, look, this is what I feel. This is how I feel. Have a conversation with Goodell instead of going through the media to push everything out there to make it look like there's not a unified front.
Yeah, because I think those people, as Bob said, understand the environment that they're working in. That it's his way or the highway.
There's nobody suffering from this more maybe than Cam Newton. I mean, the fact that a team hasn't signed him yet, you know, a guy, I understand the down years and stuff, but with all the injuries, without being able to check him out before you sign him, that's just going to keep him on the shelf longer and longer. And, you know, his future becomes more uncertain every day.
I'm shocked. I thought Chicago was going to be the no-brainer landing spot for Cam just because, you know, they do have that defense and they are close to competing, you know, pretty much everywhere but quarterback. So to Schefter's point the other day about guys wanting to be in familiar situations with familiar coaches really, really rings true with that one because Matt Nagy just went out and got Nick Foles with the shortened season. You know, a guy that knows the playbook, a guy that knows the system and the practice schedule and pacing and all that. And, you know, it's hard for me to say that Nick Foles is better than Cam Newton.
Yeah, I look, as much as I love Nick Foles, I'd have to agree with that. And I know,
yeah. I think it's crazy that he doesn't have a job right now.
And TJ Lang, was it, came out and said that? Like, basically, like, why would you want Nick Foles when you could have Cam Newton, basically?
Yeah,
and Jalen Mills made that famous locally.
I'm shocked by what the Bears did.
I am too, but at the same time, did the Panthers do a disservice by not releasing him officially until after a lot of guys had gone elsewhere?
Yeah, maybe. You got to wonder what Belichick's thinking right now because, you know, Cam Newton and Jameis Winston are both out there and, you know, they might not be the prototypical Belichick guys, but, you know, they don't really have a quarterback up there. So, you know, unless they're spending their first round pick on a QB this year, it'll be interesting to see if one of those two ends up there.
Well, the other thing is that you look at the Panthers, right? Matt Rhule went and signed his former Temple quarterback, Philip Walker, PJ Walker, star of the XFL, before he made a decision about his starting quarterback, before he made a decision about Cam Newton, who's coming back from injury. So, like, I hate to involve spite here, but I don't know why Matt Rhule would have any spite towards Cam Newton. But as an organization, why would the Panthers decide to do that so late?
Yeah, they handle it pretty strangely, but it's fascinating that he doesn't have a job right now.
Yeah, Trey, you look at Cam Newton, who is, I think, could have gotten a job earlier in the NFL if he was released sooner. I don't know if there was some kind of contract stipulation, but it was a weird story to come out of the NFL this week that he was being released and right now is looking for another job. There's been other names that have come out, other teams, the Chargers being one of them. I doubt the Patriots are kicking the tires here. But you look around the league, like where would a guy like Cam Newton even land?
I don't even know, because right now those opportunities are starting to get slim now. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Cam in New England.
Really?
That would be interesting.
I wouldn't mind seeing him up there.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, look, if you're Bill Belichick, who would you rather have? Who's their? I can't even remember their backup quarterback now. Stinnett? What is his name? Would you rather have him
or
would you have Cam
also,
Newton?
Right?
Yeah, he's still up there.
Yeah, they signed
as well.
Brian Hoyer again.
this is the NFL offseason. Thank God for the NFL offseason is what I'm saying to you. Now, let's to spin it back to the Eagles, and we hope to be joined by Will Parks momentarily. When we spin it back to the Eagles, there's a couple of more names that are out there. Now, I think everybody is doing what we're doing, which is waiting with bated breath for the actual draft to get underway, and we still got a month before that really gets underway. But you have all the names coming out there. We talked about the run on wide receivers that happened Tuesday afternoon. Of the guys that are still available, and if the Eagles are bringing in a guy that you could mold around Carson Wentz, would you go out and take a chance on a guy like Geronimo Allison is one of the last names on this list here? Would you go out there and take a chance on an older guy that would be set in his ways like a Ted Ginn? Like, what would you do right now as far as the available wide receiver crop that we all agree are below this? I mean, Trey, you had the nicest grade at a C-. And if Howie Roseman is going out of his way to say that we look at this wide receiving core better than the average fan looks at it, yet they chose to ignore it in free agency and in a trade possibly with DeAndre Hopkins, then where do you go here? Do you take a chance on some of these guys that might not be as proven? I mean, if you're talking about Geronimo Allison, who's a young guy, he's just coming out of an organization that had Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football. So would he even be an option? Taylor Gabriel, Ted Ginn Jr., they're all more, I guess, veteran guys. Would you take a chance on those guys to see if you can actually mold them around a guy like Carson Wentz, to use your terminology, Trey?
Yeah, I don't know. I think right now it's going to be looking at trying to get some of this youth in the draft. I you know, you might try to kick tires on someone like a Sammy Watkins, see what the deal is there. But, you know, at the end of the day, you've already let some of the more impactful receivers go. So now is, you know, you bring somebody in, see if it works. All right, cool. But you're laying all your eggs in the draft basket.
I think the Eagles are doing two things here. I think they're doing one thing is I do think at this point now they are trying to make sure that Carson Wentz is the lead dog in the locker room. He's the big voice in the locker room. The other thing I think that they're doing to this point, what's that?
Jordan Matthews is still a free agent.
Thank you. That's what would be done. Fourth go around with the Eagles?
He's the Eagles football, what Billy Martin was to New York Yankees baseball.
So if all else fails, Jordan's out there waiting for you.
Sure. Exactly. I can't. And somebody, I think, has been tweeting me that every single day now that they are going to bring in. And now somebody on Twitch who goes by the name General Sarcasm is saying, sign Jason Avant. Hey, we've all seen Jason Avant recently. He looks like he's still in shape, so it could be a chance. Now, here's the thing. I think what the Eagles are doing is, yes, I think they are looking at Carson Wentz as a guy that is going to be the lead dog. I didn't want to believe it, and I didn't believe it when they moved on from Malcolm Jenkins, and I still think that Malcolm Jenkins would still be here if they thought Malcolm still had at least two more really good years left as a safety in the NFL. But Malcolm had an opportunity to make more money for himself while he is joining up with the Saints, so he chose to do that. Fine. But when you think about the other aspect of this and not bringing in the veteran, the national story comes out from Jeremy Fowler of guys looking at Carson Wentz and saying, you know what, it looks like the Eagles, what they're indicating with their front office is that they want to make sure they don't bring in a guy that won't jive well with Carson Wentz. They want to bring in a guy that can mesh with him. They want to bring in a guy that is not going to be a veteran, set in his ways type of wide receiver. So in doing that, I think what the Eagles are doing is obviously foregoing free agency as far as the wide receiver position goes, focusing on the draft, but also at the same time saying, well, what's the problem here? I know we were only 9-7, but we were 9-7. Look, whether or not they want to say, whether or not we give them an F or the Eagles give them a D, everybody could be on the same page that the Eagles wide receiving core was not very good. It's a glaring need for the Eagles offense. They could rely on the draft and they could upgrade, or they can also rely on the receiving core that they have, but not just the wide receivers, the two tight ends that they have that I believe can play at a Pro Bowl level apiece in Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. And then they have I believe, a Pro Bowl level running back in Miles Sanders and a guy Howie Roseman mentioned when he was even prompted to yesterday in Boston Scott. So maybe, even without Jordan Howard coming back, maybe right now the Eagles have two running backs they can rely on. Maybe now they also see it as two tight ends they can rely on, and they don't feel the need to have to focus on the wide receiver position as we think they do. To me, Trey, I think you balance this offense as much as you can. I think you should have done it with one known commodity in free agency, and to forego that, an opportunity to know you're going to make your team better, it seems extremely irresponsible to the Eagles front office, and to tell your fan base that you grade them higher than they do is also irresponsible. I really wish I had a better vision past what they're trying to do defensively for what they're trying to do offensively. It's clear defensively what they're doing. Pass rush, going with a corner in Darius Slay that obviously is a game changer right there. Trusting in a guy like Avante Maddox, waiting for a guy like Sidney Jones to step up. Defensively, I get it. It seems clear as day. Offensively, what is their game plan right now?
Yeah, I don't know. Their game plan was to stack up that defense. You know that the secondary was going to be an issue. They knew that Malcolm Jenkins was going to be leaving. So, all right, let's make a decision. Let's bring in a better corner, because you let so many go last year during free agency with Ramsey's and everybody else. So you missed out on that last year. So, all right, what can we do this year to kind of form up the back half of our defense? And you bring in a Hargrave to kind of help in the middle interior of the defensive line to get some extra push up the middle. Then now, okay, what else can we do offensively to kind of help out? I think it's more of, all right, let's get youth. Let's get some of these young fast receivers that can come in. You still have DeSean Jackson coming in. You still have the guys that kind of, you know, turned it around a little bit towards the end last year. So here we go. Let's try and see what we can do in this draft, and then just take it from there.
Are they starting to view wide receiver as the new money saving position? You know, like we've seen running backs, they rarely pay for expensive running backs, and we said this before, that's one of their money saving position. Get guys that can be on the rookie contracts and then just keep supplementing that way. Have they had a change of focus? Have they said, now, all right, forget it. We spent bad money on Alshon Jeffrey. He gave DeSean Jackson money. Now it's the money-saving position. So maybe that's their look, and that was their plan all along.
Though I get, and Jamie brought this up with the money that it would have cost to bring in DeAndre Hopkins long-term, and that's ultimately why he did go for quote-unquote cheap in his trade. But it is a passing league, and if you're spending a lot of money to, I don't know, defend, and you're really not even spending that much money to defend against the pass, considering the numbers that have come out with Darius Slay's deal and also Nickell Roby Coleman, when you talk about those guys, and you're also promoting from within, essentially, by having Avante Maddox go into that number two corner role, and you also are keeping your guy, Rodney McLeod, back there, and only moving moving Jalen Mills to that free safety spot.
The details just came out on McLeod's new deal.
Do you have it in front of you? I just saw it.
Yeah, I do. Dave Zangaro tweeted it out. It's essentially a two-year contract, $8.65 million. He can get up to a $1.7 in incentives. So the way it breaks down is his 2020 base is only $1.05 million. His 2021 base, $3.75 million. Mm. So the fact that McLeod's only $1 million against the cap this year, another nice maneuver by Howie there.
Yeah, he's a wizard, as I've heard before. But I know what they're doing defensively. We all understand it. That's what they're bolstering. And Howie even said going into the offseason, this is one of the things that came out with Spuds yesterday on the Eagles website during their one-on-one interview, is that Howie acknowledged that they were looking at Byron Jones before anything else. He went to the Dolphins. Surprise, surprise. They pivoted immediately and went. I mean, those were Howie's words. They pivoted and went and made sure they got Javon Hargrave. And they did. And they got him. And then they also went and they made sure they got Darius Slay through the trade. And that's somebody that they've had their eye on. You've heard the reports. You heard Howie say it yesterday. That's somebody that they had their eye on for quite some time. defensively, we know what they're doing. And how we even talked about the defensive line being stacked and having Malik Jackson, Fletcher Cox, and Hargrave on the same defensive line and getting that push in the middle and getting after the quarterback so he has less time to make a decision. That's the game plan. But offensively, what are you doing? That's what you're doing to hurt the opposing quarterback. What are you doing to help your quarterback? And that's something I don't know that's going to be clear anytime soon. Maybe a month from now when we look at the draft and they're aggressive and they trade up and they still have those 8 draft picks to be creative with. Maybe that's ultimately what they decide to do, and that's what the signs point to right now. I still can't understand why you would go through free agency this way, looking at your number one need and saying, no, we're good. We'll rely on the draft, because it's not like they've been extremely successful in that way in years past. Coming up, we still have to be joined by Will Parks a little bit later. I do have to tell you about a couple initiatives that we have here at 97.5 The Fanatic, given everything that we're going through right now as a society. One is Operation Shop Local. You've heard us talking about it for a while, where business owners can register their business at 975thefanatic.com. 975 The Fanatic, Operation Shop Local. Store owners, business owners in the community can register their business. People can go to our website to check out your business, hopefully buy a gift card, see if you're offering curbside pickup, see if you're offering delivery and all that. And you can go to 975thefanatic.com, Operation Shop Local. We're all in this together, Busy Media Group and 975 The Fanatic. Also, how about this? Health Heroes, ladies and gentlemen. During this global pandemic, many of us are fortunate enough to stay home. That's what we're trying to do right now as a show entirely. And we're trying to stay out of harm's way and not trying to give this virus to anybody else. So, however, there also are frontline people out there that are trying to help our community and help make it a safer place day in and day out. They're doctors, they're nurses, educators, custodians. They are our health heroes. So, if there is a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize, also, you can go to 975thefanatic.com right now to nominate a health hero you would like us to highlight. Check out our webpage. Also, our social media pages. Listen on air every day to see if your health hero will be highlighted. Every health hero we highlight will receive a $50 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts right there. They'll receive a $50 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts. We're all in this together again with the Beasley Media Group. 610-632-0975 if you want to chime in on the Fanatic. 610-632-0975. When we come back, a fine message from our former manager, Gabe Kapler, as Kapler tackles COVID-19. Time of the Fanatic is 9:24.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I always wondered if, as a society, we could do something similar, not necessarily the equivalent to, but, you know, something similar to the World War II generation. I mean, we all grew up hearing about that generation, the greatest generation, right? We all read about it. We learned about it in school, where an entire nation dedicated itself to one cause. I had an aunt, my great aunt, my Aunt Angie, who was like my grandmother. During the war, she was obviously home. Her husband was away. He was actually stationed in the Pacific, and she was a smaller lady. And she had tiny hands, so she would be able to, you know, clean a lot of the areas of shell casings or anything like that that a lot of people couldn't do. So she went to work for the war effort, and that was a big thing. Any history movie, any movie about World War II, you hear about a war effort, people helping, dedicating their factories to the war effort. Well, in a similar case with us all battling, as Jason Kelsey called it, the common enemy of coronavirus, there are distilleries, there are breweries that turn things over to make hand sanitizer. Dogfish Head was one of them. There are clothing outfitters that have now gone over to make sure that they're taking care of business to make masks and hospital gowns. And enter Michael Rubin as somebody who has decided to get involved right now and actually make $3 million worth of masks and hospital gowns to help the community, right? So St. Luke's Medical Center, St. Luke's Hospital locally reached out to Michael Rubin at Fanatics, who makes a lot of the memorabilia for all sports and also make the jerseys for Major League Baseball. They said, can you get involved in this? He said, already on it. The conversation had already started. He told all this to John Clark of NBC Sports Philly, where he said, yeah, we started the process. St. Luke's actually called us. The governor then heard about it as well and said, hey, you know what, guys? If you could do this, this would be a huge help. So they actually got on the phone with Major League Baseball and said, do you mind if we halt production? There's no games anyway. Can we halt production? They said, go for it. So they're dedicating $3 million, to which they're footing the bill for, to make these masks and hospital gowns for people in our area, for people in New York, people in Pennsylvania, people in Jersey, so that they can make these to help keep people safe. So many different people, other factories have turned things over. Ford has found a way to start making masks at their factories as well. So it really is these commercial industries, people in the private sector that have chosen to step up big time to help out all our communities. And Michael Rubin, we talked about him earlier in the week with everything that happened with the Sixers throughout the week and ownership and him stepping up, saying he didn't like the idea of employees taking a 20% pay cut. So more credit to him to do whatever he could to make sure that didn't happen. And now, in an even greater thing that it will affect so many more people, going to dedicate his factories, his clothing outlets, to making sure that they're manufacturing masks and hospital gowns. And there is a unique thing here. Trey, some of these, because they're the baseball outfitter, some of them even have Phillies pinstripes on them, and some of them even have the Yankee pinstripes as well. So, like a baseball fan that has unfortunately come down with this, maybe they're hospitalized, or maybe it's someone that is going into a hospital, they're going to be wearing these masks with the Yankee pinstripe or the Red Phillies pinstripes as well. I think that's an amazing thing that's being done for our community.
Yeah, I think that is really cool. I like how, you know, when you have the means, you can step up and provide a service like that.
Yeah, I applaud them for it. And then, Bob and Jamie, I know you guys were split on this guy while he was here, and it took me a curveball machine to really be out on him here in Philadelphia. And apparently that was the nail in the coffin for him when it came to his managerial career with the Phils. But Gabe Kapler, I got to say, I'm on the exact same page with. And yesterday was supposed to be opening day in Major League Baseball, and as we all know, it wasn't. And Gabe Kapler released this message to his new San Francisco fan base. Take a listen.
Hey, Giants fans. I know we all wish we could be competing for you on opening day and hearing your cheers and support. Under the circumstances, I think the best thing we all can do is work collectively to try to flatten the curve and stop the spread of the virus. The best advice that I've been given is to behave not as if I'm trying to avoid getting the virus, rather to behave as if I have the virus and I'm trying to avoid giving it to other people. I think this gives us our best chance for success. Stay healthy, stay strong.
Hey, Jamie, that's your boy. That's your boy with some great advice right there. I got to say, that's my same mindset.
Well, you know he's cleanly, so, you know. If there was somebody you had to be quarantined with, Gabe might be a good one.
So the Bay Area has been hit, you know, tremendously by this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so they've been talked to by the president, by Fauci, by everyone. Specifically, they've been talked to. But it took that one last voice to get them over the top, and that's Gabe Kapler.
There you go.
Sometimes you need a little Gabe. You know what I'm saying? You need a little Gabe Kapler involved. By the way, also in the sports community, we've talked about Zach and Julie Ertz, $100,000. Joel Embiid this week, $500,000. Rudy Gobert, $500,000 as well. Drew Brees, I think, just bought the state of Louisiana. I'm not sure. But he can forget about being governor. Forget about being mayor of New Orleans. Forget about being governor of Louisiana. The guy is king of Louisiana. Drew Brees and his wife announced that they are going to give, in the calendar year of 2020, $5 million to help combat COVID-19 in the state of Louisiana. I've said it every day this week because I think it's an important message. In times of crisis, there are people that are helping. There are people that are looking there to make it a easier transition for people to get used to a new norm. The sports community has stepped up in a major way, whether it's Drew Brees with $5 million, whether it's Connor Barwin with $25,000 as a donation to Phil Abundance in our own area, whether it's the $500,000 from Joel Embiid. Heck, Mike D'Antoni and his wife just donated $100,000 in the Houston area to combat COVID-19. The people have stepped up big time to help ensure that other people don't have to foot this bill. And I couldn't be happier for the people that are actually able to do this so other people don't have to take a loss. And we know that's going around. I just saw yesterday the CEO of Texas Roadhouse is foregoing his own salary to make sure that his employees still get taken care of. There are some great stories out there. There are some unfortunate stories out there. YMCA has just laid off a bunch of people as well. So there are some people that are stepping up to the plate. There are some people that are not. I'm hoping that everyone can follow the suit of some NBA players, some NBA executives, coaches, for instance, around the league, and guys like Michael Rubin that are saying, you know, what the hell with $3 million. If it means I can make hospital gowns and masks for people as well, I'm going to do it. So I applaud the people that are stepping up to the plate to help out their workers, man. It's an amazing thing and really help out the community as a whole. I will say this about opening day, though. As we know, it's something that it was not the same, but I did it, and it made me think of something. I watched for, I'd say, about 45 minutes, the Rhys Hoskins versus Miguel Rojas MLB The Show showdown that was YouTube streamed yesterday. Anybody else watch this for a second?
No.
Trey, a second? Not even a second?
No. I didn't even think about watching it.
Jamie, you bailed on me because you said that you were actually going to check it out, you jerk. And then you did. And then you were like out making a beer run or something. I actually watched a little bit of this. I don't want to use the term train wreck, okay? Because there was two baseball players talking, and I was interested in just hearing what they had to say. They didn't have them on camera at all, which I thought was weird. Now, for the record, Rhys Hoskins won 2-0, so he had a shutout against Miguel Rojas of the Marlins. So whatever. As far as I'm concerned, the game should count in the standings. Phillies are in first place right now. But Rhys Hoskins won 2-0 over Miguel Rojas. And one of the things they talked about during the stream was best cheesesteak place in Philly. That came up. It turns out a lot of food places came up. Both had gyms as their favorite cheesesteak place in Philadelphia.
I love gyms.
I'm not a big diced meat guy. I like the minute steak. I like the flank steak type of deal. That's why I like Tony Luke's. That's my place of choice.
I have to walk by gyms regularly, and that smell, that's like a top three smell in the world for me.
I don't want to know what the other two are.
Gasoline. I love gasoline.
What? Really?
Yeah, I love the smell of gas.
Wow. I like the smell of skunks.
Do you really?
I do.
Yeah, we've talked about that. That is weird. I didn't know the one about the gasoline, though, Jamie. Bob, I knew about you and skunks.
Yeah, gasoline's a little weirder than skunks.
Is it? I've heard that before, though, about people liking the gasoline.
You've never heard anybody liking the skunks?
I never heard anyone go, ooh, is this candle skunk flavored? It's delicious. Like, I've never heard that.
Because you're lighting up gasoline smell all day long, right?
Yeah, that too would be a bad idea. I'm not saying that would be a good idea. I actually watched a little bit of that yesterday. They talked about James. Turns out Miguel Rojas really loves Federal Donuts. So that was a big piece of breaking news right there. Who knew that? I didn't realize that. And how about this one? Now, does Shake Shack have a drive-thru? I've never seen a Shake Shack with a drive-thru. I don't think they do either. So I still don't put it in the fast food category.
No, I think they do, actually.
Okay.
I know them in Kentucky. Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Shake Shack. I've had Shake Shack. But in order to be a fast food joint...
Oh, wait, Shake Shack. Okay, never mind. I was thinking of Steak and Shake. Shake Shack does not have drive-thrus.
Okay. So yesterday, while they're playing each other in this game, and they're kind of interviewing each other with people that are watching, they type in questions. Hey, what do you ask him about this, whatever. So, like, Rhys Hoskins did a lot of the driving in the conversation, and one of the things he asked was Shake Shack versus In-N-Out Burger. And I thought I was in the minority with this. But both of them chose In-N-Out Burger over Shake Shack.
Well, I mean, Reese is a Cali kid, so it's near and dear to his heart.
Okay, yeah, he's a Sacramento guy.
Yeah.
Trey, you're a well-traveled man. Which would you go?
I have no idea. I have nothing.
You're out. You're out on the fast food. Bobby, you're a well-traveled man as well.
Yeah, I've had them both. I think I would go. I think I'd go Shake Shack.
You know what? I think most people would. That's what was so surprising about all this yesterday when I heard that, and I was like, why? And then 45 minutes in, I was like, why am I still watching? And then it was over. So then I obviously turned it off. But apparently, I think 20,000 people actually watched this thing between the two players playing a video game.
Wait, you watched the whole thing?
No. I watched about 45 minutes. Yeah.
Oh,
it started for 10.
Okay.
I might have joined it at like 5:15. And watched it till 6, I guess, is when it went.
You have no life, Mark. It was beautiful and 60 degrees out.
Oh, I still got outside. Don't you worry.
Okay.
I got a lot of leaves I have to rake up from my backyard cleanup. So there we go. 610-632-0975. Will Parks apparently is ditching us, unfortunately, so I apologize. We confirmed with him last night. We were all systems go, and it didn't happen. So my apologies to our listening audience. We'll try to get him on at another time. When we come back, we'll give you the final on our Twitter poll. Of course, Sam Wilson standing by with that. We'll get that in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, if you want a greener, weed-free lawn, one that's safer for your family and your pets, do what I do. Go with Natural Lawn of America. Natural Lawn uses safer, organic-based lawn care products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. It creates a safer lawn for you, your family, and your pets to enjoy. And with Natural Lawn, you won't have to sacrifice beauty for safety. For over 30 years, Natural Lawn has provided homeowners with a greener lawn and fewer weeds using their exclusive organic-based lawn care programs. This is not a one-size-fits-all type of service. It's a customized treatment for your lawn's specific need. Wet, dry, sunny or shady, whether you live in PA or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's programs will deliver the lush green lawn that you've always wanted. And right now, they have a special deal for our Fanatic listeners. Schedule a Natural Lawn full program and receive free seeding every year. That's a free seeding every year. Call Natural Lawn today and tell Mark Farzetta sent you. Call 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! Trey, I kind of like where you're going with this here with Jalen Mills. I don't like the idea. I hate the term positionless involved in sports at all. And positionless is how the Sixers' style of play, quote-unquote, always got described in recent years here. Positionless basketball. Well, now Jalen Mills is supposedly going to be a positionless defensive back. And that rubs you the wrong way.
It was just interesting to hear it, you know, where you say, hey, he's a positionless player. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's a safety.
No, he's positionless, versatile.
Positionless, he's versatile. We can put him at running back. He could be emergency quarterback. He could be whatever. You know, if we need him to kick a field goal, what do you mean? I don't think so.
I like that idea. Well, why not have Jalen Mills kick a field goal? Well, I would like to see it. Why not? I agree with you. That kind of rubs me the wrong way. I don't mind people talking about the versatility of a player, but saying he's positionless kind of leaves a lot up for interpretation, unfortunately. Again, it just seems
like...
Dave,
you have to be quiet.
We're
Sam!
Samantha!
Thanks, Sam.
Samantha.
Everything all right? Everything all right in the home?
What was Deion doing?
Yeah. He's just awake now, so it's being loud.
you're at the office as far as we're concerned there, Sam. I do have our tool of the week. Really is a whole big old bag of tools right now. And that's the people that partied in Center City when they rented the Airbnb because they couldn't go to a bar. So they figured we'll just rent an Airbnb. Tools of the week, without a question. I think that goes without saying. Somebody actually alerted me to this on Twitch. I didn't see this, but I looked up the story. Apparently people did the same thing in Kentucky where they rented out an area, or I think they went over somebody's house, and threw a party and literally called it a COVID-19 party. Mm. Nothing to be celebrated. Stop ruining this for the rest of us. You're going to continue to spread this virus around, and now we're going to be stuck at home for even longer than anticipated. So
they need a good
people.
Talking to from Gabe Kapler.
I'd suggest sick Trey on him, because like Trey's kids apparently, Bob, according to you, listen to him really well. So maybe Trey has that influence on children.
Could be. Yeah,
Trey, we're sending you to Kentucky. Tool of the Week is brought to you by Hollis True Value and Garden Center. Fall is here. Head to Hollis True Value and Garden Center in Lafayette Hill to find everything you need for your home, your garden project, your party, or tailgate. If you need it, remember, Hollis has it. You need it. Hollis has it, especially in a time like this. Now for our big sexy, they're combating again. They're two people going against each other. It's not the first time that we've kind of pitted them against one another. Liv Simmons and Anna Horford. Who do you go with the big sexy? Anna Horford and her no pants policy when at home, or Liv Simmons in the Calvin Klein's, Trey? Who would you go with?
Hey, I'm going Liv Simmons because at least she posted a picture.
That's a good point. This all could.
Anna Horford was just talking. She didn't. I mean, it didn't happen if you didn't post a picture.
You're damn right. She could be all talk, my friend.
Yeah, she might not be about that life, Trey.
The big sexy report brought to you by.
Post a picture.
Brought to you by Delilah's Gentlemen's Club and Steakhouse. Always on top. Sam, go and give us a final on our Twitter poll, please.
Today we asked, what grade would you give the Eagles wide receiving core last season? We have no C option because we told people to get off the fence. So A, B, D, or F. We had just under 1,400 votes today. 63% graded them a D.
63% with a D. What was after that?
30% with an F.
Oh, there we go. So yeah, apparently the Eagles do have a little bit of a higher evaluation of their wide receiver core than the fan base there. We are going to end the show today once again with Harry Callis, whose birthday was yesterday. I failed to mention that at the end of the show, but yesterday was Harry Callis's birthday. But today, before this fine weekend kicks off, we have our takeaways of the day. Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is, even though every day runs into each other now, it's Friday! I didn't realize that until like 10 minutes ago.
That's an optimistic way to look at it. It's an optimistic way to look at it. Jamie Lynch?
I make this vow for this day forward forever. Next time I see a skunk out in the wild, I'll be sure to text Bob or give him a ring so that he can come get a good sniff.
Out in the wild.
Appreciate you.
Bob, when did you realize that the skunk smell? What age were you when you were like, that's amazing?
It's when there's a dead skunk in the road and you drive past it for a little ways. I don't mind the smell.
Trey it's was not a that I search right it.
Bobby, what's your takeaway of the day?
Mine's a takeaway of the week, and that's with the appearance of Emanuela and Skylar yesterday, we have the best show babies in the history of radio.
I think it was our old friend Jamie Gabe Bassine tweeted us saying, "What is it? I thought it was Show Baby and Lil Toots." Yeah, so maybe Show Baby number one.
Yeah, he corrected me.
Yeah, right. Right. Trey and Mini Trey, what is your takeaway of the day?
Take this social distancing importantly. Keep me behind home. Y'all have a good weekend.
Yes, don't ruin, as we pointed out earlier, and I saw this all over social media this week, like, don't be the kid in class that ruins recess for everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, don't be the person that's acting out that all of a sudden, oh, that's 10 more minutes off your recess, kids. Because that's kind of how it feels when people are just going out and about not taking this seriously. Seems like more and more people will be taking it seriously with the numbers going up. This ain't no joke, as I really hope people know by now. My takeaway is pretty much all about Corona, COVID-19, and people taking it seriously. But overall, my takeaway of the day goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, and they are the ones that are making us wait with bated breath to try to help out this organization at the wide receiver level. If it really is about making Carson as comfortable as possible as a leader, then that's a damn shame, and I hope this is the last time we got to talk about it, and we just see him be about it, and this organization be about it from this point out. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Have a great weekend, everybody. Harry Callis, take it away.
There was a silly old ant, thought he'd eat a rubber tree plant. Anyone knows an ant?
So when you start to feeling low, instead of letting go, just remember that it. Whoop, there goes another rubber tree. Whoop, there goes another rubber tree. Whoop, there goes another rubber tree plant.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.